right, good morning, everyone. I think I'm hoping everyone had a great Thanksgiving. I know ours was. I'm thinking about Phil and receiving the information he did about his cancer would be hard enough, but at a holiday season. And so, but I know it was a little bit easier. I don't know if you guys seen it, but their son-in-law, Ryan Clark, made a Thanksgiving movie. And Sue and Phil made their acting debut in that movie. And I would say, spot on, you guys were awesome in that movie. If you haven't seen that, it's pretty funny. So check it out on Facebook. But I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving. We're having a wonderful Thanksgiving, and it kind of continues because we have not only family with us, but Travis is back with us and his girlfriend, Hannah Goodall, and we have just enjoyed them so much. They have been just an incredible shot in the arm for us, and so we have really enjoyed it. And if you haven't met Hannah yet, please do after services today. She's leaving us on Friday, going home to Cincinnati, Ohio. And Travis will stay behind. He'll be with us till the 21st. And then he'll go and join her for their family Christmas. So we got her for Thanksgiving, and Travis will be there for Christmas. And then they'll return to Florida College in January. So just glad you had a great Thanksgiving. This morning I want to get back into our lesson we did a couple weeks ago about how to improve our relationships. Love builders. And that's what it takes to build great relationships. The cornerstone of our relationship with God, we talk about all the time. There's so many factors about it, but what we talk about? We talk about love. The love of God. The love of God sustains us. And so that's true, because in any relationship, whether we're talking about a relationship with God, our spouse, our children, our friends, our brethren, it takes love, and we have to build that love. And if we're not in the habit of building that love, we have to become more cognizant of that and actually make it a habit to build love in our relationships. And so we're talking about love builders versus love busters. And every time I say love busters, I'm sorry, I always get that Ghostbusters song in my head, but that's probably just me. But we're talking about love busters, and that's a bad thing. And it can actually, in our relationships, become a habitual thing that we spend love out of our love bank. We make those withdrawals, and we call those love busters. And so, I want to read from Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22. Proverbs 12, verse 22. Where, in fact, a lot of the passages we talk about honesty, and that's what we're talking about, honesty. Love builder number one is absolutely necessary. To build love in a relationship, there has to be honesty. And of course, the love buster is dishonesty. So in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22, Solomon, in fact, a lot of these passages about honesty are found in the book of Proverbs. And so Solomon writes, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are His delight." I want you to think about some of the sins you've read about in the Bible that are described as an abomination to the Lord. They're probably pretty weighty, what we would call pretty weighty sins. Well, among that list is lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. So I want to introduce you to another couple. We started our last lesson talking about Ed and Jennifer. And one of the incredible things about the dishonesty in their relationship that spent and spent and spent the love out of their love bank and nearly destroyed their marriage relationship was that Jennifer was being dishonest with her husband, Ed. But she didn't say lies to him. She wasn't lying to him. She simply wasn't sharing her feelings. She simply wasn't being honest with him. And that's the thing I don't want us to get in our mind, that dishonesty, the love buster of dishonesty, is simply, you know, telling lies to someone. It can be in a relationship where you're not sharing the truth. You're not sharing your feelings. And you might remember that Jennifer got so upset at Ed at this behavior that was making her upset that she fell out of love with him. Her feelings toward Ed started to change, and then when it came out, she was upset at Ed because he didn't change. But how can that be fair if she's not telling him that these things that he is doing are upsetting her? So I want to introduce you to another couple, Steve and Sally. Now, Sally grew up in a home where money was never a problem. They never had to worry about it. Whatever they wanted to do or whatever they wanted to buy, pretty much they had the money for it. But Steve was not the same way. And so Steve learned to be very conservative with money. In fact, in his job, he didn't make a whole lot of money. So he had to budget it very, very closely. But when Sally and Steve first fell in love, it wasn't a big deal to Sally. Because, you know, when you're freshly in love, love's going to conquer everything. And we don't have to make a whole lot of money because we'll be in love, and that's the most important thing, and all that's true. But after a while, Sally started to become upset because things were so tight. And she got tired of having to ask Steve for money every time she wanted to buy something. And so instead of going to Steve and talking to him and being honest with her feelings and what she felt about this and how it bothered her, she decided to get her own money. And so she did this first and foremost by getting a part-time job that Steve knew about. He was fine with that. But that didn't provide enough. And so what Sally did was take out a $10,000 loan that she could not cover on her own, and so she had to have her husband co-sign. Well, she didn't think he would do that. And so she forged his signature on the loan application and had $10,000 that her husband had no idea about. Well, at the beginning, the lie was okay. She was getting away with it. But Steve started becoming suspicious because she seemed to have a new outfit every week. And so to curb his suspicions, she lied to him and told him, no, I'm not spending a bunch of money. I'm getting Ganga deals. That's right, Ganga deals. And so Steve said, okay. Well, everything went all right for a while until she lost her part-time job and then couldn't pay on the loan. She missed a payment. And, of course, Steve's name is on the loan, and so he gets a call from a bank about a loan that he has no idea about. And the cat was out of the bag. You see, what Sally didn't understand is she was withdrawing love out of that love bank. But you didn't see it until the cat was out of the bag. And sometimes you never know until you see that bank statement, right? You don't know how much money you've been spending if you're not paying attention to it. And then you get that bank statement and the cat's out of the bag. And you'll notice all the love you've been spending through the dishonesty. And so they're a good introduction to something we began last time talking about. Why do people involve themselves with love busters? Why do people lie? You remember we talked about that people lie for different reasons. And the world justifies some of these reasons. For example, we talked about last time, sometimes people lie the protector lie to protect someone A lot of times what they're doing is protecting themselves. They might think, well, I'm protecting my loved one to keep them from hurting their feelings. But in reality, what they're doing is protecting themselves so that they don't have to have that difficult discussion. We talked about Abraham. How to protect himself, he lied about his wife being only his sister, and therefore he protected himself but put Sarah in a very, very dangerous situation physically and spiritually. Jennifer was lying to Ed to protect him. She didn't want to see his feelings or hurt his feelings that these things were bothering her. So she thought she was doing good. A second reason we talked about people lying is the trying to look good lie. You lie to make yourself look better. And in a way, Jennifer was doing that as well, because she wanted to present herself as the understanding wife, the supportive wife. But in the reality, she was not. And so she was really being dishonest with Ed. And Ed in himself, as we talked about, was lying to her, lying about his achievements in school, lying about his achievements at work, so that he would look better to his wife, when the reality was something else. And the world looks at these types of lies, the protector lie, the trying to look good lie, as kind of harmless lies, little white lies, victimless lies. They have a whole gamut of ways they look at this. But they're not harmless. In these cases, and you can talk about it over and over, these harmless lies have destroyed relationships. And if we go on thinking, oh, well, this is no big deal, we're going to be spending love out of our love banks, we're going to fall out of love the people in relationships with, and we're going to destroy those relationships. And so we want to move on to a third reason why people lie. Not building up love in the relationships, but the opposite. And that is what's called the avoid trouble lie. Avoid trouble lie. This starts at a very young age as kids try to get away with not doing what they're supposed to. And it can go on into adulthood. This is often what we call the cover-up lie. Trying to avoid getting caught in a sin or a lie. But the problem is, at least one of the problems, not only that it spends love, but one lie often has to get covered up with another lie, which has to be covered up by another lie. Or one sin gets covered up by another sin, and there is this, what I like to call the snowball effect. So let's talk a little bit about Sally. Sally was guilty of the avoid trouble lie. But it didn't just stop with the loan. It wasn't just a lie about this loan that she's trying to hide from her husband. When he got suspicious, when things started to unravel, she felt, I had to cover it up. And so one lie led to another lie, which led to another lie. And when the cat came out of the bag, what happened was it wasn't just, hey, you have been dishonest about this loan. He's smart, he puts it all together, and he sees this long road of lies. That's how love gets spent. That's how relationships get destroyed. You think about in the Bible, and we try to put a Bible character to all these. For example, the last one, the try to look better lie. We talked about Ananias and Sapphira. They wanted to look better than what they felt they were doing. They want to look like they were giving all back to the Lord. And isn't that an interesting thing about Ananias and Sapphira? They get caught, but remember what Peter says? Peter says to them, you have not lied to men, you have lied to God. And that's why this is such an important thing in building up these great relationships, is that it affects our relationship with God. We may think, oh, it's just between me and my spouse, me and my children. We are fooling ourselves. The way we conduct ourselves in our relationship affects our relationship with God. As John said, you cannot say that you love God whom you have not seen and say, I hate my brother whom you have seen. By building love in your relationships, you build even a stronger loving relationship with God. When we lie to man, we lie to God. What about the avoid trouble lie? Again, no one shared with me any more that they came up with. Maybe it's kind of difficult to think of liars and why they're lying in the Bible, but this one probably isn't too hard. Think of a person that tried to cover up his sin. And one lie led to another lie. One sin led to another sin. One deception to another. You probably know who I'm thinking of, David. David's sin with Bathsheba didn't end on that evening. And we know it's one of the great sermons about that snowball effect and how he tries to get Uriah to go down to be with Bathsheba to try to cover up. But here is Uriah, and what? It's not working. Why? Because he's a man of integrity. He's a man of honesty. And that's the one thing that destroys lying, is honesty. Deception is honesty. And so ultimately he ends up having to kill one of his most courageous and greatest soldiers. In fact, Uriah, you might remember, is on that list of 30 greatest men of David. He becomes a murderer to cover up the sin with Bathsheba. Well, that's not the only thing that dies in the story of David, is it? That baby that's born to him and Bathsheba, that baby's life is taken. He destroys a marriage. And I don't know how strong Uriah and Bathsheba's marriage was, but that's not the point, is it? He destroys his relationship, at least the beginning stages of his general Joab, who is so faithful that he puts Uriah where he shouldn't be and then withdraws from him. There's so many things that are destroyed in this cover-up lie. Well, there's another thing we see in lying. Not just in the avoid trouble lie, but in all of these lies, oftentimes when the cat is out of the bag, when they get caught, the liar gets upset with the person that they are lying to. They justify the lie. Being dishonest is bad enough, destructive enough in relationships, but then shifting the blame and trying to justify the dishonesty makes it even worse, and more of that love is spent from the love bank when we do that. In the case of Sally and Steve, when the cat was out of the bag, when Steve found out about the loan, guess what happened? She justified it. She said, well, if you weren't so cheap, I wouldn't have to go behind your back. And we get in these situations and relationships where we're in the love busters instead of the love builders, where these things in our mind, our minds play games with us, where these things seem justified and rational and reasonable. Just like the Pharisees felt it was rational to believe that Jesus cast out demons by the power of Beelzebub. It's destructive. I want to look at Proverbs chapter 10. Let's go to another Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. This is another reason why honesty is so vital. And as you're turning there, what makes our relationship with God so that we can just put all of our trust in God, we can change our lives, we have made so many sacrifices. I just think of all the sacrifices that you make as Christians because you love God. Why are you so secure in those choices? Well, Solomon talks about that here in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Here we go. Solomon writes, "He who walks in integrity walks securely. But he who perverts his ways will be found out. He who winks the eye causes trouble, and a babbling fool will be thrown down." These are two very important points that I want to make in this regard. Number one, he who walks in integrity walks securely. Why is honesty so important in relationships? Because it brings security. It builds love. It builds trust. And the strongest relationships, the most intimate relationships that you have, why are they that way? Because these are the people you can be the most honest with and know they're going to hold that in a secure way. They are trustworthy. They're going to be mature. There are things spoken between a husband and a wife that should not be shared with anyone else on social media, in gossip sessions, or anything. You've got to know that your spouse, you've got to know that your friend, you've got to know that your parents have that lawyer-client privilege, right? They're not going to abuse that. They're not going to turn that against you. They're not going to use it against you. He who walks in integrity walks securely. That's the great thing about our relationships. They meet our emotional needs. They meet our needs. And one of those needs is to be able to open up to that person. To talk to them about what's bothering us. To talk to them about what we've done wrong. To talk to them about our weaknesses. And they're going to hold that securely and help us. But he who perverts his ways will be found out. That's going to be our last point. Let's get on to our fourth and last reason people lie. And this is what's called the born lie, the born liar. Not that a person is born a liar, but this begins at a very, very young age. This is what experts call the compulsive liar. Experts tell me that these types of liars lie about anything and everything, and they don't even know when they're doing it. They don't know the lie from the truth. They become so ingrained in what they're doing, they can't separate the truth from a lie. Experts say that these types of liars, the compulsive born liar, are so good at it, they can even pass a lie detector test. Because they don't know that's a lie. They become so hardened in that. Now I want to take a little side here. They don't know a truth from a lie. It just becomes so fuzzy for them. We are seeing the ramifications in our society, in our country, of what's called postmodernism ideology. You say, well, what is that? Well, basically, you see it. You may not understand the terminology, but you see it. This is where our fellow man is being deceived, being taught that there is no such thing as truth. There's no divine standard. There's no standard at all, divine or not. And so, truth becomes relative. You have your truth, I have my truth. Well, you know there's all sorts of problems with that ideology. And now we're starting to see it. News programs I'm hearing over and over are not about reporting what they think are the facts. It's about reporting what people want to hear on this side or people want to hear on this side. And then this side became too soft, so now we need another news program that covers it even harder. And it's this idea of what we kind of see in this compulsive lie where we don't know and don't deal with the facts and the evidence. We just want to hear what we want to hear and believe what we want to believe. There's a lot of people that are worried about this election that we just had. There's a lot of people think that it's a dishonest election. That there was fraudulent votes that were counted and true votes that weren't. And I'm not here to say yay or nay on that. But what I'm saying is that there are some people say it's no big deal. They're saying, no, it wasn't rigged. There's some that are saying it was. And it is a big deal. And so what's the truth? Well, that's the thing. We don't want to get to the truth, a lot of people. We just want to believe what we want to believe. But what they don't understand is, if this was a dishonest election, would you want to win that way? Apparently, there's a number of people that would. And that's troubling. If you didn't really win the election and it was true, would you want to try to win it by some other means? No. And what a lot of people don't understand is that this is not about this election. It's about the process that we as a country of people elect our officials from here on out. And I think it's an important point, because this is a type of lie that, like I said, loses the focus on the truth from a lie. And if we don't stand for truth as a people, we're going to be a polarized country, a divided country. But that makes a challenge for us, because we live on the truth. We live by a divine standard. We don't live in this world, we're not of this world, though we have to live in it. And we got to keep telling ourselves every day that even if our fellow man decides to believe what they want to believe and feel what they want to feel, that's not the way we're going to live. And there might be some consequences that come about from that. And we as Christians have to be willing to stand firm on the sound words of God's truth. The compulsive liar are people that have very poor, very short relationships, or no relationships at all. And it makes sense, doesn't it? You can't have a relationship with a person that you don't know if they're telling you the truth. And that's the thing. In everyday life, we understand the importance in these contexts of knowing the truth, being honest with people. I was trying to think of a Bible character that was the born liar, the compulsive liar. The closest I came with was, of course, Satan. And by connection, the Pharisees. Remember those words that Jesus says? He says to the Pharisees, God is not your father. Satan's your father. And what was his evidence for that? Remember that? Because you do the deeds of your father. You do the deeds of Satan. And Jesus calls him the father of lies. He's been a liar from the beginning. He lives in lies. He uses lies. He deceives by lies. They are love busters. And the Pharisees were in that same concept. That's what they were highlighting in their lives. They wanted to portray themselves as these religious, pious, righteous people. But one of the very first things Jesus said to the crowds is, your righteousness has to surpass that of the scribes and the Pharisees. You've got to be more righteous. And Jesus goes on throughout his ministry to point out the reality of that picture. That they were hypocrites. They weren't for God's word. They murdered the prophets, just like their fathers did in the Old Testament. The compulsive liar. I hope that's not a problem for Christians. If it is, that is something that, that is definitely going to need professional help. I'm not sure you can have a relationship with God and be a compulsive liar. But let's move into our last point as we close our lesson. I want to lead from Luke chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. It's basically the New Testament version of what we read in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Luke chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. Let these words fall on our heart, please. But there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in the inner room shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. The point is very clear, isn't it? Why should honesty be the only policy for us? Why do we need to develop those relationships where we can be honest and open and just open up ourselves to those that are our friends, that are our spouse, that are our children or parents? We definitely need to be able to do that to God. Because love busters gets you nowhere. Dishonesty gets you nowhere. What Jesus says, what Solomon says, what the Bible says is the truth eventually comes out. The truth's going to come out. What you say in the dark will come to light. And then there's going to be all sorts of pain. Relationships are going to be destroyed. Trust is going to be lost. And I want to read one last passage as we close. Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verse 8. Here John is given a vision of the new heavens and the new earth. We know what that is. That's heaven. And he gets to see those entering heaven, and we know those wonderful words. It's a place where there's no sorrow, there's no death, there's no pain. Most of all, there is no sin. But then John is allowed a vision of those who are not there, who are outside. And that's always a question people have about heaven. Will we know loved ones that are not there? I don't know the answer to that. My answer is, I don't know if we'll know them or just not be able to focus on them. That being the presence of God is all-encompassing, we won't be able to think about anything else but that greatness. I don't know if that's the answer, but that's kind of the way I look at it. But John is given the vision of those who are not out, who are not in there in the new heavens and new earth. And here he describes what he sees. Verse 8, but for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I know there are even Christians that ask the question, can lying be justified? Can it be righteous? Looking at stories like Rahab, and it's a difficult question, it's a difficult topic, but every time I get in that discussion, I just keep coming back. It just keeps coming back to Revelation 21, verse 8, where all these people that he talks about, abominable, there's that word again, murderers, immoral people, that's those physical, carnally immoral people, sorcerers. He doesn't just talk about liars, he says all liars. And I just keep coming back to that. And I just can't at this point justify any type of lie as being fair and just. It seems to me it's a love buster. But let's thank God for those relationships we have that are built on honesty. Let's thank God for giving us a spouse that gives us that security that we can be honest with them. Let's thank God for those parents and those children that we have that open relationship with. And if we don't, let's keep working on that. Let's pray to God about it. Let's thank God for our brethren that love the truth and stand for it. But most of all, let's thank God that He loves us, that we can stand firm on His promises because we know He cannot lie. And He has prepared a place for us because He's built a relationship with us built on honesty. And I just hope that you'll think of these things this week and in your life. And if you need the honesty of God, you need that relationship as you never had it before, I hope that you'll come to Him. If we can help you in any way to do that, please let us know. We're going to turn it over to Robert with our song service now. Let's open our hearts and praise to God. Thank you so much.